So this is the book anyway, so you can see. The Wren is near. And I'm going to read a couple of poems, but I just wanted to talk about the idea behind the book. And everybody probably knows, well, especially in Ireland, that the Wren Boys, which is something that's celebrated the day after Christmas, Stephen's Day, it's known as. But the Wren is actually, there's a part of the myth that's been missing for a long time. And so what I've done is I've actually kind of placed it back into the zeitgeist or into society. And the origins of it are kind of mysterious, but it's basically the Wren was a woman. And so what I'm going to do is the beginning of the book has the story. So I'm just going to read you just the myth of the Wren, the original story. Many years ago, there came to the island a beautiful woman of the fairy people. She went all through the land, and wherever she appeared, she put such enchantment on men by her beauty and her wonderful attractive powers that they one and all left their work and their homes to follow her. When she had them all collected in this way, she led them across an apparently shallow ford in a wide river. She herself went across almost dry shod, but when her followers attempted the fording, the river rose in fury and drowned nearly all. Upon this, the survivors, brought to their senses by the disaster, gave chase to the woman seeking vengeance upon her. But she, laughing in mockery, changed herself into the shape of a wren and flew away. Some say that this particular wren was the first to be hunted, killed, and carried around for exhibition. Others that the actual witch woman escaped. But it is generally believed to be in the memory of this event that the wren is still hunted and carried annually. So, the basis of that is that it's to bring in this idea of the woman back into mythology and her role being that of sovereignty. So, from that basis, the book that I've written here is from her voice. So the book is broken up into different chapters, like king and warrior and land and sovereignty. So I'm just going to read a couple poems from each chapter, and I will start with, let's see. This is from the chapter called King. And it's called The Old Man's Pace. The man in the doorway with his tamed wolf is feeding the pigeons as the door closes on an era too far gone into oblivion. The winds that blow across cobblestones are the forlorn tears for those who tethered the boats of truth in hard times. The barracks are empty now, and the soldiers in graves regret their service to an empire. The waking pace of a generation unacknowledged moves the foundations of a society on the brink, while the sleeping wolf opens one eye to view the noise, while the cat waits in the sun. All along the walls, the wildflowers bloom, and the lone lily reveals the innocence of a quiet nation underground, within caverns of stone. A song is heard, and the tragedy of a people merits a lament for the days that are ahead. Clear waters and newborn eyes are the mirrors of these times, as the old man's pace is the love of a life we forgot. Now, the poems kind of move on in a pace because it's going through the landscape of the figure of sovereignty. And included in that, of course, is grief. Or grief or lament, actually. Okay, this is called The Blackbird's Lament. The blackbird is dancing in the yews next to the stone graves, and the oak looks on after years upon the honor that fell with her men. There is peace in places where wrong has been done. Reflection is within the arms of silence, and the birds are still singing laments so sweetly that tears come easy. Here upon stones are words sacrificed in blood. Fallen men never died, and flags of old still fly. The sun brings a dawn after sorrow, and time is in the gold planted for heroes. The story is written again and again across all hearts as new flags are being raised. The pulse of the street has changed to a new anthem, and the queen in her cardboard throne is telling her secrets to the air. The lone bird of night is awakening the new rebels from their dreams. And fallen skies with shades of opal are the ghosts of the dead singing lullabies to the children of the future. Stone words are turning to gold upon hearts that are crashing on shores of the west. The strings of the harp are now played by the men who wish to finish telling their tales. The call of the blackbird is sweetness for the lips of the truth tellers, and souls will be made upon the stark river that sings in a night without a moon. There will be blood, there will be song, there will be love, and there will be a cry in the forest for those who waited to sing again. Okay, let's see. Okay, I'm gonna read this poem, and just to say a little background about how I've written some of these poems is I like to go out, be in nature, and wait for a line to come. And this particular poem happened, I guess, over a long period of time, but the line came, which the title of the poem is called Lily in the Ruins. And it's kind of a reference to Lilith, who is the woman who's the outsider, but it's also a reference to Cork and to Cork City and the things that have changed. It's also kind of related to all the changes that have gone on, particularly in Ireland, and things that are lost. So I guess I probably shouldn't say much and just read the poem. Lily in the Ruins. In the quiet she has grown. She was planted with gentle hands in the soils of ancestors' wakes. She was grown by way of the willow's dance. And this is how her story must be told. A garden, an island, and a storm. A hero's death, a lament unsung, a poem forgotten, a silence too heavy. Winds blow from the south, and the thread of the old rail line is long gone, but the trains still whistle. the lone elder who walks by night. A story for a people too hard to bear, but carried as an emblem through ages past, grown again and again through trials unnamed, behind closed doors, within walls that cannot scream, in hearts that wish to breathe. Who is she that grows in the ruins? Who is she that wakes in the night? Who is she that abides the storm and stays stoic in war? Who is she that holds the child abandoned? Who is she that tills the soil that cannot grow food? Who is she that knocks on the workhouse door with the sound of a ghost? Let the whisper be heard. Let the wind on waters tell the tale of where nourishment comes from. Let the cold and the souls be a reminder of what was. As the leaves fall for another year, the crowds go to the side where the island of immortality resides. Who will tell the tale of the ruins when the city becomes a ghost? Who will tell the riddle for the rose? And who will plant the lily when the rusted gate creaks no longer? The wolf with his steel eyes comes calling, and the deer wander across waters of old to return to the land above. The gentle speaking of trees embraces all the children, all the ones who cannot tell their tale. Too fast, too young, too far away, come home, says the lily, to the heron's call. Come home to the island where light returns to the ruins. As the lily grows with the wind's embrace and the people's sorrow, abide, abide. Let the shade of a nation fall gently into the waters. Speak into the hearts that sing, into the hands that grasp upon the strings unburied. Flocks fall from the heavens to the dusk, and another day treads on an island's stillness. The boy finds the branch, and the mother gazes on to a hope not yet grown. Okay. Do you want me to read one more? Yes? Okay. Let's see. So this one is from the last chapter in the book, which is called Sovereignty. And it's called Truth's Passage. The grasses have quieted, and the cat's prowl has lost its dance. The foreign accent is all but disappeared, and the fade of colonization's stroke has placed its last arrow before the altar of the shining blue-eyed men. Eyes looking down for centuries look deep within, and humility's face is beside the widow with her newfound tears. How does sweetness come to these shores when the ancient dog does not wait for its call? The forest fall is set upon soils of old kings, and the chalice of the queen has been cracked for the lips of future princes. Sorrow leaves the heavens, and the poet's house remains unvisited while the crow waits. Mountains of lapis straighten stillness, and the broken curragh sings the tides that will not return. Beyond the nest of the magpie's treasure, a silver dove lies on an island uninhabited. Within a mouth of far distant lands, a branch sings what was lost, and a man cries for the mother he betrayed. So the clock ticks and the table is left undone, but the candle remains, and the lullaby of the future whispers softly to the newborn truth. So, thank you.